The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And welcome back. We appreciate you being here for the final hour. More of your phone calls on what has been quite an afternoon, including a recent Will Smith slap of my face by Pat. Augie is up next in New Orleans. How are you, Augie?
I'm doing good, Paul. Now, Paul, I trust that you will tell me at the outset if you're going to be interested in my call or not, because I've heard that today you're not in a listening mood. Is that true?
Well, according to the caller formerly known as Miss Pat, yes, that is correct.
You have trouble with callers with three-letter names, you notice? Now, I've got to say, Pat's my Twitter buddy, so I can't talk too badly. She's got a really nice dog, if you've ever checked out her Twitter page. So
you know what? I just blocked her on Twitter.
Speaking of Twitter, Paul, what's your reaction to the news of Elon Musk taking it over?
I am for anyone who will allow a free forum on either public airwaves or in social media.
Well, do you know that the Twitter communists, they killed Augie's Twitter account, right? So I had to create another one.
Yeah, I did. I was not aware of that, but I'm glad to hear. And yep. I'm not getting into politics here of the past, but I don't like when people censor other people. And that was my biggest beef with the former group that ran Twitter.
And it was not because of my anti-Bama or Saban tweet. It was because of my anti-Putin and Russian tweet. So
oh, really?
They didn't like the fact that I was as pro-Ukraine, I guess, as I've been. Really, I'm anti-Putin.
I didn't think Russia. It was possible, at least in this country, to be too pro-Ukraine.
Well, apparently it is. Now, they may say it was because I was retweeting some pictures of battlefield scenes that are not, for polite. But they were already on Twitter, so I got them from Twitter. It's not like I was creating. I'm not in Ukraine.
You know what, Augie?
So
was there any mention of the Feinbaum Show in your profile?
No, okay. Not in the profile.
The reason I bring that up, because after January 6th, Twitter, and this is, you'll begin to see some of my animus toward Twitter. They wiped out between 50 and 100,000 of our Twitter followers over that. I kid you not.
I wonder if that's any indication of the bent of a lot of your followers.
Well, I'm sure it is, but that's beside the point. And I'm, it can be adjudicated in some other forum, but whether you agree or disagree, and there are plenty of things I disagree with, but I still think within reason people should be allowed to present those views.
I'm absolutely with you. And I mean, hopefully Elon will take this to where he says he will. But you know, Paul,
and by the way, when it comes to Elon Musk, I don't know much. I don't drive a Tesla. I don't know him. I know all about him, of course. But I'm glad he had, 43 billion spare change.
Well, that's just that's what they call decimal dust for somebody like Elon. And you know, he's the isn't he the Marvel comic character they built Iron Man off of?
I think you're right.
But Paul, every time our friend Legion calls, you know, lately he has been able to make a call without bringing up Augie. But every time that guy Legion calls, I feel like I need to take a shower. I feel like I've been violated, that I've been sitting in some old Fleabag motel with like rat droppings in the corner, lice and mites crawling all over me.
Ooh.
And Legion, he calls himself Legion now, doesn't he? Black hat, Paul. Oh, yeah. Have you ever heard somebody laugh at themselves as much as he does?
No.
I mean, if you took the laughing and the just the extraneous noises made out of his calls, he'd probably be like a 2-second call. But speaking of boring callers, Jeff has halitosis of the intellect. Now, I am taking that quote from something that was said about Huey P. Long years ago. But every time Jeff calls, don't you feel like you need to take like some kind of mental floss and just floss your brain out? It's like listening to his calls are like, after they're over, it's like you just ate a tough steak and you got like pieces of meat in your teeth and you just kind of pull them out.
Yeah, but I agree with that. And but it's the yelling that gets me.
You know, which leads me to my next point. You just have these fantasies when he's talking of putting a big gumbo pot over his head and beating it with a gumbo oar, like a Three Stooges episode. I mean, it just rings your brain. You want to shoot rubber bands at him when he's on the phone. It's just terrible. But he doesn't seem to realize it. He just, no self-awareness whatsoever. And for this stupid conversation that's been going on for the last 3 days about, is Georgia replacing Alabama? Is Kirby Smart replacing Nick Saban? I know it's April. I know things are tough as far as news goes. But are these people really believing that Nick Saban's dynasty is in jeopardy of being overtaken? Even if he wins no more national titles, do they really think Kirby Smart's going to win more than 3 or 4 in his career? I mean, with this whole NIL and this free agency called the transfer portal, I call it the transfer portable. Do they really think he's going to have the same playing field Saban had? It's not going to be that way. And I don't see him getting 3-4 more championships. I don't see any coach eclipsing Saban's record. And Saban is the GOAT. And as much as I like
I promise you this. I don't think this is an ambush. If it is, I apologize in advance. Jim wants to say something to you.
All right.
It's not an ambush. It's a compliment. I knew this would happen.
Thank you, Jim.
You knew it. You knew Feinbaum after you propped him up like you have to prop up all the phonies, the fakes, the phony legions. Great way of putting it, Augie. He is a legion, full of demons, full of evil spirits. And I'm like you. I feel like I can't imagine my wife, and I don't have a wife, but I can't imagine my wife having to listen to that thug. That's all he is. He's a cheap, two-bit Yankee. He's from up north, and he's a Yankee line thug. He dares to think he's in my league as a caller. Feinbaum can tell you truthfully, maybe out there, I don't know whether he ever will, but he knows this guy's not in my league as far as a call when I really used to call about ball. But
I don't even think he's in your league now, Jim. He's not,
but he talks ball, and that's what attracts some morons that listen to that clown.
He talks stupid.
He's only got morons that are his
ball.
Fans.
He doesn't know the first thing about it.
You're exactly right. He never played ball. He's just a blowhard, loudmouth Augie, and that's evident and obvious, and he's such an embarrassing clown. But I'm sure Paul, at some point, will say, that's enough of this, and he won't prop him up anymore. Because, Augie, if it's one of you and there's one of me, there's many more that feel the same way as this guy goes, ha-ha, what is that?
Yeah.
Is that championship form?
Legion, you are the devil. I mean, that's something like a fourth grader would come up with.
Exactly, that's all he is. He has no intellect. He has no education. He comes over here. You know, it got me when he first got on here, Augie. Shane and I were talking about it back when it happened. I said, what are you doing talking? I couldn't stand Shane even conversation with this guy, and he did for about 2 or 3 months. I said, Shane, this guy is this guy calls himself legend. Now, whatever, if he's a legend, would he have to name his own self legend? And by the way,
according to Squirrel, he's got a sweatshirt on the back of
his head. Have y'all heard from Squirrel lately?
He called in the other day.
He did? Tell me what day. I've been looking for him.
It was short.
Well, Squirrel's the best caller, Paul. And this is coming from the guy you said was the best. Right now, there's not a doubt in my mind, Squirrel is the best caller. And all of you
agree with
Squirrel
that.
Is the best. Would you agree
Squirrel's
with me,
Augie? Yep, Squirrel's a good caller. I like Squirrel. He's got a lot of
I like his wit. But he's got a little bit of a... He's very entertaining, and he's very sapient. I promise you, he really is.
Well, I got to say this,
anyway,
Jim, lately your calls have been pretty good, so you need to call in more. And
well, you know, I'm telling you, here's the deal. I get mad, and that's what screws my I get mad, and it screws my calls up because I start screaming and hollering because I'm very emotional. But I've always been emotional playing ball, anything that's aggressive. I'm aggressive. It's adrenaline. I knocked a guy over a car one night. It's adrenaline. It's adrenaline. I've got a lot of adrenaline. And especially against an evil monster liar like Legion. And thank you for naming the guy what he really is named, Legion. Okay? Thanks a lot, Augie.
All
okay,
right. Thank you,
guys.
Paul. Thanks, Paul.
Yeah, Augie, I appreciate your patience there. And thanks to both of you. We are coming back. We have a lot to do on the program, even though we only have 15 minutes remaining. Stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And welcome back here late on a Tuesday afternoon. You may have heard about this latest information concerning the portal. It's an interesting situation. An article here by our next guest, Tom Van Herren. Only 54% of FBS players who entered the portal enrolled at a new school. So what does it all mean? This is a chart. And Tom, thank you for joining us. A really interesting topic. We are talking every day about the portal and all the things that go wrong. You've looked into it and have been talking about it as well. What do you glean from this report?
Well, we tend to just write and just read about the top level guys, the top level transfers who go and make an impact. A lot of those players, they already know where they're going to go before they even get into the portal, and they know they have a spot. And I think what these numbers are showing us that it's not all about the top level players, that a lot of the players, FBS football players in particular, a lot of them are making poor decisions. And you mentioned that 54% number. Deeper into that article, I pointed out that scholarship FBS players, 59% of them, only 59% that enter their name in the portal are going on to transfer and receive a scholarship. So that's a large number, Paul, of players that probably weren't playing much, that aren't elite level guys, who were receiving a scholarship, and now that scholarship is gone. And I think that's probably one of the main points a lot of people are looking at right now.
I know there's no set rule, but I want you to explain, because we get asked all the time, what happens when a player goes into the portal? Can he come back? Is it entirely up to the individual coach? How does that work?
Yeah, it's up to the coach and the school. So the player enters his name into the portal. They enter paperwork for the compliance department. The compliance department enters that information into the portal. That does not require the player to transfer. He doesn't have to leave. What it does is it allows other coaches, other programs to contact him. Now, the problem with that is, as you mentioned, it's case by case. Each program, each coach has different rules for that. Technically, when they put their name into that portal, a coach at the end of the semester, they could say you're out and you no longer have scholarship here. So there are some issues with that as well. And as I mentioned before, a lot of the top level guys, they're scared to put their name in there without knowing that they've got a spot somewhere else. So what we're seeing because of that is tampering happening, where coaches are reaching out to high school coaches, to trainers, to handlers, to say, hey, we've got a spot. If this guy's interested, we've got a spot for him and we'll take him. And these players are going through back channels to try to figure out where they can go ahead of time, then entering their name into the portal. And that's not the case for those lower level players. They don't have those spots available to them.
Talking to Tom Van Herren, and I know you alluded to it a minute ago, but we hear from people in the industry talking about these agents out there who are contacting players to get them to go somewhere else. What's legal these days and what's not? And does it even matter?
Yeah, no, it doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter because it's all happening. I mean, anything and everything is happening right now because everybody's trying to protect themselves. You know, I've talked to personnel directors who have said, if we wait for a guy to enter the portal, we're too late and we're not going to get him. So you have to go out and tamper. You have to go out and try to get a hold of people. And so there are ways to do it. They can go through high school coaches, and technically that's not illegal for them to talk to a high school coach and say, we've got a spot open. Now, they can't really discuss specifics, and they're not allowed to discuss anything with those players on other programs, but they do. And it's happening, and it's a necessity for them. So I think what we're seeing now, Paul, in what an interesting side of this is, it's not just agents in terms of handlers for recruiting. We're now seeing actual professional agents get involved with this. Spencer Rattler, he's got an agency that he works with that's an NFL agent. A lot of the big name quarterbacks have agents who represent NFL players as well. So now you're bringing in high powered agents that are used to handling this stuff, that are used to a lot of these discussions. They're handling NIL deals. They're handling transfers. There are a lot more back channels now. There are a lot more hands involved in this now than there ever has been.
And with the NCAA essentially out of business, and we'll have more to say about that in a minute as some news is breaking about the future of Mark Emmert, what happens? I mean, is it? I mean, you hear coaches talk about the Wild Wild West. Is that what you've discovered based on the people with whom you talk?
Yeah, I had a personnel director tell me that the transfer portal right now, the way it's set up, and the lack of rules from the NCAA, he said it's a bleep show. he used an expletive. I can't repeat that word, but right, yeah, you can figure it out. You can use your imagination, but that's how he described it. Because there really aren't any rules other than you can't talk, you're not allowed to tamper, but everybody's going around that rule anyways. So I think there are a lot of issues with this that were overlooked, and the NCAA has washed their hands clean of the transfer portal, of NIL deals, and I think now coaches are in a unique spot where they're asking or wanting change. And I've heard the phrase, we've let the toothpaste out of the tube, Paul, more times in the last 6 months than I think I ever have in my life, that you can't get the toothpaste back in the tube. They've let it out already. I don't know how you rein it in, but we're starting to hear a little bit more from coaches publicly. As reporters, we've been hearing this privately, but now publicly, we're starting to hear more people advocate or say at least that they think it's inevitable that the Power Five teams eventually break off, create their own group, and create their own rules, because really right now there is no rule. There are no rules. There's no regulation with any of this.
And I know I'm asking you a lot of very pedestrian questions for somebody that covers it at your level. So we had this one time, we had the COVID rule, I guess. And now essentially is it or is it not true that you can transfer free of charge once, but what happens after that?
Yeah, so coaches are using that to their advantage as well. So players now, they can transfer one time without penalty. In the past, if they were to transfer without a waiver, they had to sit out for 1 year. They don't have to sit out for a year now for that one-time transfer. If you're a grad transfer, you can still transfer with no penalty and go elsewhere. But coaches are using that to their advantage, that if they get a player to transfer that first time, they know that there's going to be a natural detraction for them to want to transfer again, because if they transfer that second time, they are going to have to sit out a year. So I actually had a personnel director. I wrote a story recently, and I was talking to a bunch of people about this in particular, and I had a personnel director tell me that they no longer want to be the first school to land a prospect out of high school. They want to be the second school. They want to be the school that gets the transfer, because that's how many kids now are transferring. you're able to get them on campus. And really, after that first time, they're sort of locked into your program.
Incredible stuff from Tom Van Haren. And Tom, this is not the end. This is only the beginning of this literal nightmare, although some are benefiting from it. Really, really appreciate you being on. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll be back soon to talk again.
I look forward to it. Thank you, Tom. While we're talking to Tom, there's some breaking news on a subject we talked about just an hour and a half ago with Donna Lopiano, who unloaded on Mark Emmert. And now, according to the NCAA, Emmert is stepping down effective June 23. That's a year from now. And there is even speculation, as this story breaks, that it could come sooner, as soon as the NCAA finds a replacement. But when he was extended about a year and a half ago, there was absolute outrage among the industry. And as a result, I think what he got was a golden parachute, which anyone at his age would want when you make $3 million a year. You want to be protected so you can continue to live the same lavish lifestyle that you enjoyed while you were shepherding and leading the NCAA into the abyss. But so there is an exhale right now in college athletics about this, that Mark Emmert is finally done. He's not done soon enough, according to most people in the bubble, but he is done, and it will set up a battle for who is either the caretaker of an organization that is now obsolete, or can the people that run this organization find someone who actually exhibits leadership, which is something that Mark Emmert never did. He's the former LSU chancellor, if you remember. He was at LSU when Nick Saban was hired. He left to go to Washington as the president there. He was hired there to become the NCAA president. It's interesting that the athletic director now at LSU, Scott Woodward, worked under him at LSU and left to go with him to the University of Washington. So there will be a mad dash to see who replaced Emmert, but there will be very few people. They may be uttering platitudes tonight about what a great man he was and how well he served, but I can assure you, virtually nobody in intercollegiate athletics believes that. Good riddance to Mark Emmert. At least we have something to look forward to over the next year. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Back to the calls we go, and I-Man is up next.
Good afternoon, Coach Uncle Brother.
You got it.
You're a good man. You a good man, my Coach Uncle Brother. You know, Paul, I love listening to your program, and I love listening to the callers. You've got some callers that are a little more entertaining and, and I don't know if entertaining is not the right word. I just find them easier to listen to. And then you've just got your regular stat callers, you know, they want to talk about Kirby Smart and Nick Saban. But I do have I like Pat. I like Augie, Squirrel, Handsome Joe, a few others. But I was listening to the phone a few the other day. And I tell you, hands down, Legend just spanked Jim. He switched his legs till they was bleeding. He switched his legs. He grabbed him by the wrist, and he switched him around the yard, and Jim was hollering and screaming, "Mommer, help me, help me, help me." And he was hoping that you'd put somebody else on the call with him, but he was stuck. And, you know, Legend was really laid back and taking it kind of easy that day. He just kind of let Jim say the same thing, what, 15 times? That's compelling. That's great calling. Even when Jim talked, when he said he talked ball, he really didn't talk ball. He talked about his ball and what he did. He never really talked about teams or anything like that. And I don't know. And what is this thing that he's got with being a great caller and the greatest caller? Tell me. I mean, is there, what's the need in that, Paul? I mean, can you help me out on that?
I wish I could, but I am not a gymologist.
A gymologist. A proctologist.
I'd like to be a gymologist.
You know, I mean, I just don't understand what is the drive that this imbecile has to where he's the greatest caller. And he said it was adrenaline. That's not adrenaline. That's called mental. That's something mental.
He said he was aggressive, too.
I mean, aggressive. You know, Paul, let me ask you something. Man, we just take your show and callers, for instance. All right. And a lot of these people are out free roaming the world. They're going to stores and fast foods. They're calling this program. Why is it, and these people are on the streets, for the most part, unattended. Why isn't it in all 50 states marijuana legal when we've got these people to look at as an example? Wouldn't marijuana be illegal in all 50 states be far more effective than, I mean, just look at it. And some of these people can tote guns without a permit. You just put it in your pocket. It's a real gun. It's a real gun. That's a real tote, too. But, I mean, what is it, Paul? What is it about the laws on the marijuana in this country? Why didn't all 50 states adopt that and said, hell, I mean, just to treat it like liquor, hold everybody accountable when we see that there's so many of these, well, a handful of callers to this program who aren't accountable to anything. And they're not great callers. They've never been great callers. And you know what? They probably won't have a great call again tomorrow either. Guess what, Paul? Have a good day.
Squirrel is up next. Good afternoon, Squirrel.
You know, I hate to disagree with my buddy, but I am a gymologist, and I thought Jim blistered the Birdman of Alcatraz the other day, to be honest with you. I mean, Legend, I hate to overuse the phrase, but Legend is a pimple on Jim's butt. I mean, you'll hear 10 Jim references per hour on this show for every one Legend reference. So, like I said, I mean, Legend gets ratioed every day. By Jim, but one reason I called is Miss Pat, I want to thank her for proving once again that when you call in twice in one day, your second call is always going to be worse than your first. I thought that second call was pretty catty. What do you think?
Well, since it involves me, it would be inappropriate for me to agree with you, but I do agree with you.
Okay.
And, well, by the way, I mean, the first call was not particularly. She basically gave us her.
Yeah, we were proud of her degree
from
Oklahoma. Yeah, that was great. Yeah, and I'm glad that the electrical factor wasn't as good. I mean, in the 70s, but you know, again, look, we try to stay somewhat current. But it is what it is. But speaking of your ace caller, yesterday he referenced me as a Hawaiian. Have you ever been to Hawaii?
Oh. I have, yes, a couple of times.
I went there
one time. I always thought it was people that were Polynesian out there.
Yeah, well, there are mixed races out there, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I love Hawaiians. I went out there in 1990 on our anniversary. We went to the state of Brown, Honolulu, then went to Kauai.
Sure.
And guess who sat next to me?
Jim?
Seriously. Guess who sat next to me in the plane on the way out there from Los Angeles to Hawaii?
Jim Neighbors. Jim Neighbors.
Bryant Gumbel.
Bryant Gumbel?
And Bryant Gumbel.
I've never met Brian, but was he as sullen in person as he appears on television?
Listen to this. He was going out there to do the skins game, one of those golf tournaments or whatever. But I asked him if he ever listened to your show, and he said that he did.
Oh, my goodness.
And no, I'm just joking. I didn't even know who you were.
Bryant Gumbel at one time, like 30 years ago, was probably the most important sportscaster.
Well, that's about when he was at the top of his game. Yeah. But it's funny you asked that. Was he solid? Because I was flying a lot for my company and out of St. Louis where I was based, and that was, if you remember, that was a TWA hub back in those days.
Right.
So I had my little gold card that got me, up to first class, and so my wife and I were flying out there, and so he came and sat beside me. Everybody on that plane came up and tried to kiss his ass during that flight except me. I didn't even look at him. I didn't even acknowledge him. And then at the end of the flight, when we were getting, and he pulling them black binders on his eyes, and at the end of the flight, when we was getting off, he said hello, and that's what I was doing.
Now, you know what's interesting, Carl?
I ignored him.
Bryant Gumbel has a terrible reputation. Greg Gumbel, and I do know Greg Gumbel. I've had dinner with him. He's a charming guy. And even Greg Gumbel admits that nobody likes his brother.
Well, like I said, he could be abrasive back in those days. But the reason I say aloha is because back in 2002, 2003, when Bama got banned from bowl games, so they scheduled Hawaii as the last game of the year, it pissed off the people of Mississippi so bad. And I called into a buddy of mine's radio show every morning named Doug Colson. So I started ending my calls in 2003 with aloha just to stick a barb in the eyes of the Mississippi people that got pissed off.
Yeah, for those who don't know what we're talking about, 20 years ago, Alabama got hit very hard by the NCAA, and they couldn't go to a bowl game, so they very cleverly added Hawaii. If you go to Hawaii, you could have added an extra game. So they beat the system.
Right.
It was really smart, and it also ticked
thanks
the NCAA off.
Call.
Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.